And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this rainy Wednesday morning. How are we doing, Joe? What's going on?
Great. Just driving through some rain, getting a nice COVID test. Incredible amount of traffic. Incredible.
Really?
Like, going through downtown at 5 a.m., just packed. At
really?
5 a.m., yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know if, like, if the weather makes it more packed or seem more packed.
Probably.
But it was, yeah, it was quite a crowd out there, quite a scene. So, other than that,
wonderful.
And we're on the... We have the wide angle now today. Keep people guessing. You
That's
know?
Right.
GoPro's working.
It
we
is.
Know it's going to be a good day, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
GoPro.
Michelle, how are we doing?
Doing good. And Joe, there's always traffic down there every morning, 5 a.m. It's always popping.
Yeah. That's right. It's Michelle's fault.
When do people sleep? Or you know?
They don't here, I guess.
Like people, it's like, you know, the traffic's getting so bad in Nashville, people are doing like 6 to 2 days, you know, work.
So.
Yeah.
All the construction doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
Good.
I got me some. That's 2 nights in a row. I've gotten at least 7 hours of sleep. It's pretty good stuff.
That's great. I'm jealous. Sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
That's
You'll
big.
Try
Seven
some sleep sometime.
Yeah, I tried. I had a weird night last night. Couldn't fall. It rarely happens, but like every once in a while,
yeah.
You get like the like actually can't fall asleep. Usually, it's like head on pillow done. I don't know.
You were just like so excited for this morning.
That's
you
what
know?
It was.
It's probably
couldn't
it.
Even sleep like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Well, we get to talk a little bit more about Urban Meyer today on the show. So who wouldn't want to be excited about that?
That's a good point.
Well, Joe, he still got his job as we stand here today. So, I mean, there was a point yesterday where I wasn't 100% sure that that was going to be the case. But Urban Meyer, at the moment, still employed by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, owner Shad Khan came out yesterday with a statement saying, quote, hold on, that's not the comment. That was Urban Meyer comment that I'm seeing now. Anyway, the comment says, Blake, or quote, I have addressed
blah, blah,
this
blah.
Matter with Urban. Specifics of our conversation will be held in confidence. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect. That will require a personal commitment from Urban to everyone who supports, represents, or plays for our team. I am confident he will deliver. End quote.
Okay.
I don't really know what all that means.
No, I mean, to me, as soon as it came out, I'm like, oh, okay, so not firing him. So, which, as much as there was a little bit of, like you said, there was a little bit of, you know, like Michael Lombardi's tweet and then some intense conversations. That would be just wild to fire him.
It would be.
Again, the only reason you would, for this, as embarrassing as this is, you'd only do this if you're convinced he isn't going to succeed and you want it out. Like if this was like after a 2-15 year and it was like 0-4 next year, then I could see it, you know? But that would be a complete like, hey everybody, I completely botched yet another thing with this franchise I own. So here you go. Let's have another coach search. So it's not going to happen this year. I mean, unless Urban, you know, keeps up the wild midlife crisis behavior.
Yeah.
But what a. What a nice scene it is in Jacksonville.
What a start to his coaching tenure. Well, I mean, there were reports yesterday after we got off the air about, you know, him not apologizing to the players in a team meeting. He cancels a team meeting.
Weak.
Apparently, he just talked to some position groups and apologized that way. Canceled the team meeting and basically made it sound like the way he did in the press conference, which was, yeah, I was just there and went out on the dance floor and that was it. And the players are looking around like, do you think we're idiots? You think we can't see this video that's out there? And then apparently he got done saying whatever he said, and players started laughing at the end of it, and he was aware of it, according to reports. Just wonderful times for Urban Meyer down there.
Yeah, I mean, how weak is it to not collect everybody together? One. So he goes and tells his dumb little story like six times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird. And then he has these comments later in the day that are like, well, it's not, you know, it's up to the players anyway to take the ownership. I mean, I don't even understand what he's done. So basically, like, I have no role on this team. I mean, that's I know that's not what he meant, but that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole thing is he's handled it terribly. You know, I don't like, again, like, I think the laughing tells you, like, the thing itself, the Urban being in a bar acting like he's trying to find a new bowling ball. I mean, like that, like that is not going to, you know, is not going to like offend or bother his team that much.
Right.
It's probably like the not going with them, I guess, is that's a big thing. People are, you know, and football people are making a big deal out of that. You know, it's very strange. But the fact that you're lying, because everybody can see it, right?
Yeah.
And just the fact that it's this huge, like, distraction and you just look like an idiot, that's where it hurts him. I mean, how could you be respected in that room right now?
Well, I mean, he straight up lied to his team and to the public. Like, he got in front of the microphone on Monday and talked about how, you know, he was there with his grandkids and some people wanted to take pictures and drag him out on the dance floor and that he should have left. And while all those things to some degree might be true, we see the video. It was more than, hey, why don't you just get out here on the dance floor, man? Like, so,
hey, come out on the dance floor. You can stop groping me.
Yeah,
try dancing.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think the alternate angle that we talked about yesterday of this video, I think it may have come out after he made those comments, or at least I saw it after he made those comments.
Okay.
So I don't know if he was trying to lie and then got caught by the video or what happened. But, I mean, this is just a horrible look for him. And if you're his team, number one, the whole thing's embarrassing anyway. And then, you know, obviously they're laughing about it. But deep down somewhere, they've got to be like, all right, so we've seen that you've done this. And then you came in on Monday and lied to us about it. And not only lied to us, but lied to the public about it as well. So how are we supposed to believe a word you say as you move forward?
Did he definitely say the same BS from the press conference to the players?
That's the way the reports have made it seem, yes.
Yeah, because that's, you know, because it also could be like, hey, guys, you know, like, went to the bar, it was stupid, sorry,
yeah.
And didn't actually go with the whole, well, I was just with the grandkids and we were just finishing up our creme brulee and, you know, whatever. Who knows? Regardless, he looks like an idiot, and he's going to keep his job.
Yeah.
And the memes, and the, I mean, it's just going to – this will be an eternal – I mean, that meme has got lasting power.
Oh, it does.
Well beyond his tenure in Jacksonville.
I don't think there's any question about that. And our man Dennis, who sent in the nice Photoshop work yesterday of Urban Meyer, it made the rounds on Twitter yesterday.
By the way, you know, I didn't ask you guys. I usually do a good job of this, but you guys get the poster,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's an actual movie, oh, Urban, yeah. Cowboy. That's John Travolta. Like, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing to be the first person, as far as I know, to do that because it's an obvious one.
Well, the fact that he got the Duval sign in there, the skyline of Jacksonville in there, it was beautifully done. It was really well done.
Very nice.
Todd from Jacksonville commented on Twitter about it and said, you know, as a Jags fan, I love this. This is great.
Todd from Jacksonville's enjoying this, I feel like. So good for you. You got to have fun with it.
That's right.
I just wish that, like, their next game could be a road game.
Yeah.
Because this Sunday, I mean, there would be some fantastic chance and sign possibilities for Urban. I mean, you got all week to think about that. I mean, and it'll happen. I don't know when their next road game
is,
but I'm gonna record their next road game.
Well, this would honestly be a great time for him to be back in college football and for them to have some big game and like College Game Day. It would be amazing.
Oh, the game day signs.
The student section would be ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
See, if he was a college football coach, well, again, I was gonna say there might be a little bit better chance that he would be like fired for this.
Yeah,
but he'd also, he'd be winning big, and so then it's all, well, you know, kind of a misunderstanding. Those videos can be confusing. You know, you got to – it's not in the proper context.
Yeah.
You didn't see all the stuff that happened before that on the video. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Did you see Ryan Day yesterday?
No.
Now, this came from the Reddit college football account on Twitter, so I'm hoping that this is true. But Ryan Day yesterday apparently showed up to his press conference in the same Ohio State pullover that Urban Meyer was photographed in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
My goodness, that's fantastic.
So I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but if it is, that's really funny. And if it's not, I guess that's Ryan Day giving it to Urban Meyer. I don't know. But it's hilarious.
I'd love to think that he did that to troll Urban.
Yes. He probably did.
I mean, it's a nice pullover, though.
It is a nice pullover.
Maybe he just didn't think about it.
Maybe not.
Wow. That's great. Ryan Day's got his own issues.
That's true.
Like if this happened to Ryan Day like 2 weeks ago, then he's like, Ryan, thanks, Coach Day. Yep. Thanks for your service.
Get Luke Fickell on the phone.
Yeah. Luke Fickell and Mike Vrabel fighting for the Ohio State job. So. Wrestling.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh from Cookeville texting in. Good morning, guys. Which Preds player do you think will have a breakout season? I want some Tennessee professional sports to look forward to. Wow. Already out on the Titans. So want some Tennessee professional sports to look forward to with the Predators.
Yeah.
Predators get another win last night in preseason.
Yeah.
And the goal scorers, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, Philip Tomasino.
Save those for when it counts, boys.
That's right.
Well, Tomasino. So interesting, last night Ryan Porth tweeted about after his goal, I wonder if these two goals here late in the preseason mean that he'll make the team. And I was kind of like, did he need those to make the team? Am I being too presumptuous to just pencil him into the lineup?
I thought he was going to make the team. Now, I will say, you know, they've cut their roster down to 28 at the moment. So you're getting close to the 23. There's three goalies in camp right now. So one of them's going back to Milwaukee, and it's probably going to be Connor Ingram that goes back to Milwaukee. So now you're at 27. There are some interesting decisions. Like Michael McCarron's not going to make the team. He's going to get cut. You've got nine defensemen in camp right now. One of those is going to go. It's probably going to be Jeremy Davies would be my guess. And I guess you could go with two of them and send Ben Harper packing as well. But then at forward, you've got Igor Afanasyev, who's been really good so far in camp. I still think he's probably the one that doesn't make the team. But let's say he does. Like if they really like Afanasyev and the size that he brings to the table at like 6'4", 220, you know, he's a skilled player too. Is somebody that we haven't expected going to be cut from this team? Like is a Rocco or a Nick Cousins or somebody?
Yeah, Rocco is the first name that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But Tomasino is not. So you don't consider him on the cut line?
I mean, it's harder with young players because he is eligible to go down to Milwaukee without you really having to do anything else. So I'm not going to say that he's absolutely a lock to be on the team. But to me, he would have had to come in and really struggle to not make it based on what they've said about him and the opportunities that they want to give him. And he keeps scoring. So it's hard for me to believe he's not going to make it. Yeah. I think he's going to make it.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like there any sort of addition of offense
be welcome. You know,
on this team that you can get from the forward group, you would take, right?
I would think so. So we'll see what happens on that front. We got a lot to get into with the Predators today here on the show. We'll be joined at 9 o'clock by our man Adam Vinken from The Athletic. Vinken season has returned here on the radio show. We're excited about that.
Big Daddy.
That's right. Also going to be joined by Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach at 7 a.m., and then Michael DiRocco at 8 o'clock, ESPN NFL Nation Jags reporter. I'm sure he's had a fun week. Looking forward to that conversation coming up at 8 o'clock.
Let's make it even more fun for him.
Let's see if we can do that. When we come back, we will get into the Titans and what's going through the mind of general manager John Robinson right now with these injuries, including to guys that have just been drafted and to big free agents as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And the Titans at this point moving on to the Jags, putting the Jets game in the rear view, and it's probably a pretty good game to put in the rear view as the Titans move ahead here. Now at 2-2 with a big divisional game coming up against Jacksonville. And the big question this week is, are they going to start to get some bodies back into the fold? We saw Darrington Evans with a tweet yesterday with an eyeball emoji, so it looks like he might be ready to come back and practice. We'll see how that develops this week, but this is an interesting time right now for John Robinson. As you look at, obviously, what went down last year, you bring in Vic Beasley, you bring in Jadeveon Clowney, you get virtually nothing out of either one of them. Isaiah Wilson, the mess that went on with that situation, the draft class did not look great last year. And then you fast forward to 4 weeks into this year, and you've not gotten much out of Bud Dupree with the injury that he's had. You've not seen much of Caleb Farley outside of week one at all on the field. No Dylan Raidens, and now Julio Jones, the one you've traded for, is hurt, and who knows when he'll be available as they move forward here. It's been a rough go of things for John Robinson as of late as far as the acquisitions are concerned. What do you think is going through his mind right now? And as you look at all of these moves over the last couple of years, that I think it's fair to say they're starting to catch up with the Titans on the field in terms of not working out and not getting production from players that need to be on the field at this point based on the way the roster is constructed. How do the Titans overcome this year if this doesn't get any better in terms of maybe not much from Farley, not much from Raidens, and we'll see about how well Bud Dupree is able to recover.
It really is amazing when you lay it out like that. All of these, you go back to last draft class right now, you've got Fulton. Like you said, the eyeball emoji for Darrington Evans. What a world, people like going nuts because he tweeted an eyeball. But, hey, based on that and Vrabel actually volunteering that Darrington Evans, that they're hopeful, makes me think he's probably going to be on the practice field today. But, yeah, this last offseason, going into this offseason, it's like, well, you had one whiff of an offseason. So now, certainly you couldn't possibly do that again, right? And it's not like it's guaranteed that it will, but right now it's incredible. Bud Dupree not out there. So your top free agent signing, your huge trade, he's not active right now. Your first-round pick, man. The fact that you have a first- and second-round pick, and you're getting zero from them, along with your top two veteran acquisitions. Boy, it's just not going to help. It's part of the story of why this team has been so up and down and just lost a terrible game. So you got to be – they're all different situations. You got to be hopeful with Julio Jones. He looked pretty good before he had the hammy, but it's also you look at camp – and you look at last year, it's probably all been the same thing, right?
Yep.
So that's not great. Bud Dupree, I think, is really concerning for this year at least. There's no indication that this is like some kind of re-injury, but just that now he's really struggling to, to come back and be effective. And he was utilized so much, especially in the opener. It's easy to second guess all that stuff for sure, but man, what does that mean at that position all of a sudden? And then you have in tandem with Rashad Weaver and in tandem with Roberson being hurt, all of a sudden that's just a big concern for this year. And I don't see any reason. I don't see much reason at all that Dylan Raiden's going to matter to this team. So there's a second round pick. Could have done a lot of things with that. Now, down the road, if he becomes a starter, okay. But again, this is a go-for-it year.
Yep.
But then Caleb Farley, I don't know. But all I know is Greg Newsom at that same position is doing awfully well. You could have done other things there too. And even before the shoulder injury, which has him out now, I wasn't watching him and saying, man, he's about to be starting on this team.
Yeah. Well, just think about this from just purely this draft this year and the context of what they brought to the table through four games. Caleb Farley, Dylan Radins, which have done nothing. Monty Rice, Elijah Molden, which did begin the season as a starter, and now they've apparently just punted on that for the time being. Rashad Weaver, he gets hurt. So, I mean, look, there's nothing you can really do about a player getting hurt in the middle of a game on the field. Racy McMath has been okay on special teams. And then Brady Brees. That's your draft class this year. I mean, you've gotten basically nothing out of your draft class this year. You can't continue to do that. And to your point, look, Caleb Farley, this time a year from now, may be like Christian Fulton. And he comes in and he's a starter for you, and you feel great about Fulton and Farley and Elijah Molden. That could be your trio moving forward for a long time, and then this looks a whole lot better. But to your point, this is a go-for-it year, and to have, to this point, absolutely nothing out of your draft class, that's a tough pill to swallow. Not to mention, you know, Des Fitzpatrick, who did not make the team. There is that, too.
Right, who you moved up to get, yes. It's amazing to look at the 2019 draft and how good it was. And really, I mean, the high picks haven't been great, but overall, pretty good first four drafts for John Robinson, plus some good signings. And then look at the last two. It's just, and it's like, you know, with 20, you know, obviously COVID is a factor, but it's still no excuse. I mean, everybody has the same conditions. I mean, you have to adjust to things. I'm sure, you know, and they've said it. Like, of course, it makes it more difficult to go through your normal process. Then you have this year, which is a more normal year. Still not back to totally normal. But I mean, if you really want to make excuses and find how this isn't John Robinson's fault, then you can go there, I guess. But again, these other teams are saying, yeah, we'll take Joe Tryon. He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Or Newsom or whoever. Or, you know, Rondale Moore. There are a lot of guys. Or a tight end. You know, Trey Smith.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. But like you said, bunch of people blew that one. So it's just, if it looks better down the road, like with Radins and Farley, then that's good. But it's still, I think you have to, like, a Farley for this year, and it said it at the time, like, is that the guy who's going to give you what you want when you are in your position, where
right.
It's like you're trying to get over the top, you're trying to do a few things that'll push you forward. It's more of a long-term pick, and again, maybe it works out, but a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, who's coming off multiple surgeries, how confident should you be that he's all of a sudden going to be ready to just come in this year and help you at a position of great need?
We'll continue the conversation on John Robinson and the Titans when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How concerned are you with the draft picks and free agents that John Robinson has signed the last couple of years that maybe that derails this Titans team? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Support Stars on Saturday, October 16th by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders' 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and you could also show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What's going through John Robinson's mind right now with the misses on draft picks from last year? And so far, not much out of this draft class this year either. You combine that with some whiffs in free agency, and it's been a rough go of things from an acquisition standpoint for Robinson as of late. Look, a lot of this for this year to me is going to depend on, can Bud Dupree at any point get back to being healthy and being the Bud Dupree that we've seen? Because if he has, or if he can, I think that really changes what this defense can look like. I mean, if you have an elite pass rusher out there, that's something the Titans haven't had in a while. Now,
if he is that.
If he is that. And that's the question. You know, he's played alongside T.J. Watt. I watched the Steelers pass rush the other day. They've still pretty good. Still can generate some pressure on the quarterback. So can Bud Dupree do that without a T.J. Watt on the other side? I don't know. We're going to find out. But that's the thing. Are we going to find out? Like, how healthy is he going to be this year? To me, if I'm a Titans fan, I see him play the first couple of games. I mean, he was basically in there the whole time in the first game against Arizona. Had a lot of snaps against Seattle. And now all of a sudden he can't find his way on the field. To me, that's pretty concerning coming off an ACL injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. I mean, he's critical. It's critical that he returns and makes a difference for this defense. I mean, right now, you know, so John Simon's in now.
Yep.
So a week after we thought, but yeah. And I don't know what that means. Does that mean that, okay, Sharif Finch, thanks for the week, but it just not isn't there, or is it? Well, need both of them because it'll be a while on Bud. I don't know. You could look at that either way too. But Harold Landry's playing great. I think is he leading the league in pressures? He's right up there in the top three for
yep.
sure. Quarterback pressures. Still got to, you know, finish more, but I mean he's playing great. And I think Ola Adeniyi, I think what happens a lot with guys is you'll have some performances like he had early, and then teams will say, "Hey, let's look at 92. He's
yep.
doing some stuff, and let's see what he does, and let's neutralize that." Whereas previously, no one had a clue who 92 was. You see that a lot with guys like him, where you know teams actually you do something enough to warrant the attention of the opponent, and then all of a sudden the effectiveness wears off a little bit. I mean, he's still playing hard, and he's nice to have. It's been a real nice pickup for them. Certainly helps on special teams, and I think he'll be in the rotation. But I think it's unrealistic to think Adeniyi's going to end up with like 12 sacks this year. You know, so
yeah.
I mean that position is just you can move Rashawn Evans over. But I just haven't seen much from him when he has gone over there to think he'll do a lot. Now, they did do a lot of Danico Autry, actually, with the outside linebacker group. And I think Autry's, in whatever role he's been in, he's been a nice addition for them.
He's been good.
But it's still not enough.
Right.
You got to have 48 out there.
Oh, you do. And, you know, there is the part where he's getting paid over $16 million.
There's that too.
That's got to factor in this as well. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Memphis texting in, I think they need to go out and get Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith released yesterday by the Cowboys. Now, I guess my question would be, I hear you. He's only 26. I think he's only 26 years old. Number one, why is Dallas releasing him right now? And number two, I mean, he's not really that much of a pass rusher.
Right.
I mean, he's got 9 sacks in his career, and I think he had 2.5 last year. Like, his main job has been, for the most part in his career, middle linebacker. They've moved him around some, but, I mean, I don't know that your biggest need right now is at linebacker if you're the Titans.
No. Now, if you feel like he could help you there and he's versatile enough, and then also – you think down the road, you very likely are losing 2 inside linebackers
yep.
after this year. Hey, I mean, I don't hate the idea. It's a bit surprising. I mean, he was playing quite a bit, so I don't know exactly what the entire story is there, but certainly I think the Titans and a lot of teams should/will at least have some kind of interest in him.
It's just weird that we're 4 games in and all of a sudden now he's just on the outs in Dallas. It's very strange, especially at his age.
Very.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James texting in, if I'm ownership, I say to John Robinson this offseason, I order you not to draft or sign injured dudes. This is coming from James on the text line.
It is incredible. how that has become such a theme. You know,
yeah.
And I've never heard John Robinson say, you know, I really like hurt guys. You know, I really, we like to nurse them back to health.
Yes.
You know, it's
very caring organization here with the Titans.
Yeah. You know, we
Southern hospitality.
Yeah. Take a little bird and you know, bring it into the nest and let it fly. Yeah, it's weird. I must say, like the Farley one was just like another one.
Yeah.
Really. And it just hasn't gone well. Now, it's gone well. You know, Jeffrey Simmons turned out to be a nice deal for you. You got him. He would have gone higher. You got him lower. Got the value. And he was fine. And he's been a good player. So maybe that's one of those where it's like, let's keep doing that.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't think you can put a mandate down like that with your ownership. But I'd be concerned.
I'd be concerned too. Ben texting in, 90% of the recent draft picks not being a factor does concern me, but what has me the most concerned is we aren't retaining players from after their first contract, and that combination together means a rough few years ahead. Hey, look, you know, I think there have been certainly at some point you'd like to keep your first round picks beyond their rookie deals. I mean, that's certainly something you'd like to do. But to Ben's point at the end of that text, like, I think we've kind of seen for a while that, you know, kicking the can down the road with some contracts, missing on some draft picks, that's going to hurt the Titans at some point down the road. We didn't figure that it would be now and this year just based on the talent this group has. But with the injuries they've sustained, I think it's fair to say, like, it's not having some of these draft picks come in and be able to contribute immediately is really hurting this group right now. I don't think there's any question about it.
Oh, no question. I mean, look, there's going to be a cycle down. I mean, if you want to look at this strictly from John Robinson's perspective, so, I mean, this happens. I mean, basically, every GM in the league who does well enough to, like, hold the job for a while experiences that.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to experience ups and downs. You know, look at Floyd Reese. Floyd Reese, the bill came due, right? And there was a lot of. You had to lose a lot of guys, but the era had been so successful that he survived that in the job, and then they was there, you know, from when they drafted Vince Young, right?
Yep.
You know, so that's what you want to do. You want to be able to bridge yourself to, like, this, I guess, basically whenever you have to draft the next quarterback, which is coming at some point here, for the Titans. But I think to do that, like, this is the time when you're. You know, like, you're establishing, like, you know, here's the winning team. Here, I built it to this. Now, we're making a run. Now, they did make a run to the AFC title game. That helps. But the cycle down is coming. This is supposed to be one of the glory years.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just bad if you get no help at all from two straight drafts. And I agree on retaining your first-round picks. I mean, over time, you can't possibly – give second deals to every single one of them, but you can't have this few too. There's got to be a balance there, and right now it's way too far the one way of just moving on from people. And if you do that, then you better keep drafting well.
That's not going well the last couple of years for the Titans. Joe from Maryland on the text line. The last two drafts, we have one player in the first two rounds doing something, and you drafted someone at the same position in those drafts. The fact that we still can't cover and we stink at offensive line is crazy. In our current window, it would be nice to draft and sign players who are healthy and can contribute right away. And it is, to Joe's point there, it is kind of amazing that one of the big themes we've talked about through the first 4 weeks is big-time coverage bust. And the offensive line not being able to block anybody. And you've drafted two corners and two offensive linemen in your first two rounds the last couple of years.
Right, so you're identifying where you need help, but you're not getting it. I mean, if you go back through Robinson's, obviously it's tough. Like, his first draft, well, okay, great, he took over a terrible team. But Jack Conklin, all-pro as a rookie. Austin Johnson's playing. Derrick Henry, backup, but, you know,
it's worked out okay.
That's a decent pick. Then the second round, Kevin Byard became a starter that year. Tajay Sharp mattered that year. And that's pretty good. Even LaShawn Sims mattered that year. The next year, you get, you know, it doesn't take long for Jayon Brown, Jonnu Smith. I mean, Adoree Jackson's a starter. Corey Davis is a starter, although he was hurt too. I mean, Taywan Taylor, as much as that pick is, you know, not a good one in the third round, he played as a rookie. So those first two drafts, you got a lot out of those people. Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry, they were immediately playing. Crookshank was at least immediately playing special teams. Jeffrey Simmons, as soon as he got healthy, playing. A.J. Brown, star basically from the start. Nate Davis, few games, he matters. Amani Hooker and David Long. Again, 2019 draft, outstanding.
It's pretty good.
Outstanding draft. And, I mean, I'm looking at the last two drafts. Who has done anything at all? Chris Jackson, as a seventh-round pick in 20, has been pretty good.
I think it's fair to say that Chris Jackson has overachieved based on where he's been drafted.
He has overachieved. And Laurell Murchison, who now again is hurt as an elbow is out, but he looked good in camp, and we'll see if he can get back. But, I mean, he was trending in a good direction. Fulton's been, I mean, you know, it's starting to look better last year, although you'll always have the first-round pick
yep.
on the record. And then we'll see. Darrington Evans was a guy I thought. I mean, if Fulton and Evans by the end of this year are key guys, then it looks a lot better. But again, in the go for it, signing Dupree for big money, go make the trade for Julio. And then this draft class right now is just giving you zero. It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. We'll continue the conversation on John Robinson when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've also got some tickets to give away as well. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Going to be joined to begin the 7 o'clock hour by Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here in about 12 minutes or so, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Right now, talking Titans and taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And we've also got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, October the 9th, which is this Saturday. Be caller number 4. Caller number 4 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 4 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chad from Hendersonville, who wants to weigh in. Chad, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, am I caller number 4?
No, you are not. Very well done.
So let me ask you all this. Look at, you know, it's I understand the being critical on Robinson on some of this stuff, but everybody in the league's going through this. Look at the teams in the division. What do you think it looks like right now if you're a Houston Texan fan or a Colts fan or a Jaguars fan or go outside of the division? What do you think it looks like if you're a Steeler fan or a Viking fan or a Seattle fan or what the Rams are looking like, you know, after their drudging against the Cardinals? I mean, that's just part of the league. So you can cherry pick this thing all the way down the way however you want to. But at the end of the day, how does the quarterback look in a quarterback league? How's Derrick Henry look? How does this thing look when the team is healthy, and where is the overall thing? It looks pretty dang good. So, you know, week to week, we kind of ride that wave, but, you know, a lot of teams go through this stuff. You cherry pick any draft. And another thing real quick, as long as we're digging into these drafts, when you look at these picks around drafts, if you don't cherry pick good little picks, how many teams are struggling with draft pick problems? A lot of them. Because it's very rare to get guys to play. The percentage of guys that come out of drafts that play is very small. So when you go and cherry pick your own drafts, you're going to have negatives. Every team is going to have that. And you're going to go through ups and downs. That's just the reality of the drafts and the game. So the overall picture, to me, when the team gets healthy, looks pretty good. And if you don't think so, look at the division we're in.
Hey, thanks for the call, Chad. Chad, we appreciate it. Look, I hear what he's saying there, and look, every team has misses in the draft. I don't think there's any question about that. What you can't have happen is missing on basically entire drafts, and that's, you know, that's what we're talking about here. Christian Fulton looks like he is going to be a lot better, and maybe he could be a pick from last year's draft that you feel good about as you move forward. There's not much outside of that. I mean, there's nothing so far this year that you feel great about, and it's very early. We're four games in. I realize that, but you just can't have total whiffs on drafts, because if you do that, it's very difficult to sustain success in this league. And to Chad's point, like, everybody is going to miss on some draft picks. Not every draft pick you have is going to hit. Everybody is going to miss on free agent signings when you bring in. The problem that the Titans are on right now is you look at the moves made over the last 2 years, combining the draft and free agents, and the overwhelming majority have not worked out. And that's not a great way to sustain success.
Right. Yeah, like, the big picture is they're a winning team. So who's responsible for that? I mean, all the good things that are on this roster are also John Robinson. I mean,
of course, it's
always the context that's needed. It's so he's gotten them to the go for it year. So that's all to his credit. Of course it is. But yeah, I mean, it's two straight years. We just went over it. The last draft is starting to look a little bit better. Could continue to, but this draft class. I mean, let's look at Chad's point there on people not playing a lot. So after Farley, you've had Darisaw to the Vikings, Najee Harris. You had Greg Newsom. We've talked about him. How's Eric Stokes doing with the Packers?
He's been pretty good.
You know, Eric Stokes there, corner for the Packers. He was there for you. Gregory Rousseau to the Bills. Joe Tryon looks awesome to the Bucks. Tyson Campbell to the Jags, another corner. I mean, there's quite a few guys here. Christian Barmore, D tackle to the Pats at 38. There's quite a few guys here. And you know, Tevin Jenkins was one of those guys that the Titans, you know, again, you would have had to take him in the first round, but you know, they go Dylan Raidens instead in the second round. I'm going through this list even down further. You know, Asante Samuel, Rondale with the Cards. I talked about Rondale about a million times. I mean, Jeremiah Owusu for the Browns has been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
There's quite a few guys here on this list who went after you picked who are helping pretty – not just not helping or playing, but actually playing very well. Azeez Ojulari. I mean, he went way lower than everybody thought. I haven't watched a ton of Giants football, but he looks all right too. So it's look. I mean, the margin for error gets super small when you are in a go for it year, because it is way harder. It's a lot easier to go from crap to pretty good, to decent to solid, than it is to go from decent, solid, pretty good to great.
And you know, when it comes to this year's draft, I mean, you're reaching the point with me where, with Caleb Farley, I'm wondering if he's going to be a factor at all this year. I mean, Anthony Midgett spoke yesterday about how he's pleased with Farley's attention to detail and being involved with the meetings, but said physically he's just not healthy enough and is working hard to get himself ready when he is healthy. Well, that all sounds great, but to me, like, Caleb Farley is already behind the eight ball anyway in terms of reps. When you look at the last 2 years and trying to learn how to play the cornerback position at the NFL level, he's a guy that needs every rep he can get, and now we are weeks into this, and he's not getting any reps at all with what appears to be no real sign of him coming back anytime soon. Like, I don't have much faith that Caleb Farley is going to be a factor this year at all.
Yeah, it's still so early, and it's certainly you could see it may be someone else's injury, you know, that between him getting healthy and someone else getting hurt. I'm not ready yet to say zero chance, no way. I'm not super confident that if he is in that position that he'll be a plus player.
Yep. But
I mean, yeah, I think you can see with him the length, the athleticism, all that stuff. I mean, you can see why he was picked. He also looks like a guy who needs a lot of work at playing the position, which isn't that big of a surprise. Because he hasn't played in 2 years, and he actually barely played corner.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things about that pick that are like, boy, you're really taking a leap.
Real quickly, before we get to Clark Lee coming up next, some breaking news on the NFL front. This coming from Adam Schefter. Quote, a stunner. Patriots are releasing four-time Pro Bowl cornerback Stephon Gilmore, who was eligible to come off the physically unable to perform list after week six, sources tell ESPN. So Stephon Gilmore out in New England.
All right, well, Titans, all you got to do is sign Jalen Smith, Stephon Gilmore, prosper, go to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
The end.
He's eligible to play after week 6. See what happens. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah.
He's been a pretty good player, though.
He has been.
We'll see what happens on that front. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll break down the big win against UConn. Look ahead to this week against Florida as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.